Hi everyone, this is Modern Mongolia and I'm your host Donna. Here I share some fun facts about Mongolia, lived experiences and contemporary culture and lifestyle of Mongolians, so welcome aboard.
Today, I'm talking to Yumjana Sui, who is a talented artist and an activist studying here in Ulaanbaatar as a fashion designer. And she's a Boria Chinese woman. And we have known each other for, I think, around a year now.
Yeah.
We met when I was running my tiny little thrift shop. And we have been actually talking about getting together and doing something together. But I'm just happy that finally we're sitting together and doing this episode for my podcast. So thank you very much for coming.
Yeah,
so
thank you for inviting.
How are you and how is life lately?
It's so strange to to hear my voice.
I know.
Actually, it's fine, but today was kind of stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
tell me about the exhibition that you're participating. What is it about?
It's an exhibition from the LGBTQ center, local one. So the exhibition called Mongol Hun, and it's related to the Mongolia and to the experience. So actually, like, I know that I'm not Mongolian, but I'm Buryat, so, and Buryat are the parts of Mongolian. So I asked if I can join and participate. They said, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, now I'm participating.
So nice. And where is it happening? I also want to check out.
It's happening in the gallery. Oh my god, it's in the Taube. It's Union Artist.
Yes.
I forgot the full name.
It's I think it's of Chuting Halpa, Union of the Mongolian Artists.
Yeah. It is.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on the second floor.
One. Okay. Noted. So, yeah, I just want to say that it's really nice to sit with someone else and talk, because for my podcast, I have been doing solo episodes and mm-hmm. I was so sick of just listening to my own voice. Thank you.
Oh. Okay.
So I just want to start talking about how do you feel like just living in Ulaanbaatar, just share your, like, I don't know, favorite spots or favorite thing about Ulaanbaatar, or is there something that you hate or just like that?
Yeah, actually it's been a year already and I feel so embarrassed that I still don't know Mongolian that well. It's still on like such a basic level, but yeah.
It's fine.
I can't even imagine that it's been a year already. But yeah, I think I get used to the life. And now I have a lot of friends who came from Buryat as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so sometimes we're just sitting and sharing our experience. And I think some of them are still not get used to that.
Uh-huh.
To some points
right.
of UB's life. But I think I'm like already like assimilated to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you share, like, what are those experiences that your friends had shared that they find it difficult to, like, cope with?
All my friends are freelancers and they are working, like, in art fields, different mm-hmm. parts of, like, some directors, photographers, designers and stuff like this. And I have so much stories about people who are, like, I don't even say how to say that, like, getting situations when people just, like, disappearing or just, like, fucked up and I don't know. And today I met my friend
mm-hmm.
and he's a photographer and he works in Michelle Amazonka.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, like, how you don't get used to that? Because, like, I went to the printing house and the print was already supposed to be ready for uh-huh. the exhibition. So I came and they're like, oh, What? We don't have anything, like, because, like, I think that one person, she forgot to tell her that they need to print or something like this. And I think, yeah, I mean, like, it's okay. Because, like, they have a lot of work and they just started their company. But I was in a rush. Because, like, I needed to go with one place and then to go there. So I was like, oh my God, can you do it faster? And they're like, we don't have this material. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think maybe it's, I don't know, Mongolians being unreliable or not consistent.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's the thing in Ulaanbaatar, I think.
It's a huge
for example,
thing.
I think when we find some place good, like for example, like coffee shop or a restaurant, and we think, oh, that place is really good. And when we want to come back the next time, it's closed already. Closed. So there's no consistency, or it says it's working on the Google Map on Sunday. And when I go there, it was not working actually on Sunday. So I think that happens.
Yeah, it's like a common situation in here. You can't trust anything. Like,
yeah,
I think you don't. I think I'm having trust issues.
Living in Ulaanbaatar.
Yeah. The level of trust issues just increased.
Yeah. Maybe always have a plan B, C, or.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. It's like, you know, such a Buddhist vibe, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
When something is just went wrong and you're just like, okay, so what can I do now? And you always have a plan B on your mind or plan C. Yeah, for real.
Yes, kind of like going with the flow and adapting to the situation.
Yeah, be in the flow.
Okay, so could you tell me about, like, how do you feel living in Mongolia as a Buryat? As a, you know, minority member. So do you have any experience to share that, like, how Mongolians' perception about Buryats?
I can start the story from last year. Oh my God, I'm losing my language, okay. It can be not only about, like, how Mongolians see Buryats, but also, like, just, like, experience of being minority of dictatorship government. So actually I came last year in the 19th of February, so it was like 5 days before the war, and it's so, I don't know, it's crazy to think about that. So I just came, and last time before that I used to be UB in 2019. So, and I was just like 17, and I just lived here for one semester, and I used to live in the dormitory. So I think I didn't, like, it feels like I didn't used, I didn't live in Ulaanbaatar. I don't know why, because, like, I was, like, little, and I used to live in dormitory, so I don't know. Things were different. So when I came back and I was like, wow, is it Ulaanbaatar? It was just, like, the whole new thing for me. I don't know why, maybe because, like, things changed after quarantine. So I was, and I have this huge typographical cretinism. So sometimes I'm just like, in the downtown, I can get lost.
Oh,
I can, like, oh, I need to go this way. I'm totally sure about this, but then I can go.
I don't
know why, but it still happened to me, but okay.
Yes, I actually want to sympathize with foreigners who live in Ulaanbaatar, that of course they will have some difficulties to navigate around the city, because the address and all those stuff are very, very messy. Do you use Google Maps to find places? Does it work?
Yeah, actually it works, but, like, I also need to get used to the Google Maps, because when I used to live at home, we have another application. It's called, like, Tugis or something like this. It's, like, for Russian. So it was, for me, it was much more comfortable, so it took some time to understand how it works. And there was another application, it's called MapsMe, and people were saying that it's better, but I have no idea. I don't know about this. So I was telling about this. So, yeah, the war started, and Oh, I just like rewatching my stories from last year on Instagram and was like, oh my God, it was such a crazy time. I mean, it's still a crazy time because the war is still going. It didn't like finish and stuff. But last year, I think it was absolutely crazy and my mental condition just like...
Yeah, I have also been following your stories and it seemed... Yeah, I understand.
I don't know. Yeah, every time I'm just thinking about this, I think I'm about to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was talking to my friends. I was like, oh, guys, I wish you could be like here. I mean, like not here, but like with me, I guess, because mm-hmm. like I missed them. And I think then such things happening to you or like... just happening, you feel that you need like some of like human communication. Yeah. And I think in the beginning I didn't have that much because I didn't have that much friends back at the times. So yeah, I was like on my own dealing mm-hmm. with all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like I think you all should be afraid of your dreams, or not like dreams, but like your wishes,
mm-hmm.
because like I was like, oh, I wish my friends can be in here, and after like half year, they came.
Uh-huh. So,
like yeah, half I know. Year, yeah,
we're going into a little bit serious topic, but were your close friends or families were kind of here because of the war, fleeing the war or mobilization?
Mobilization, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like all those friends who are living here uh-huh. now, they came up because of the mobilization.
Mm-hmm.
My family, actually, some part of my family still lives at home,
mm-hmm.
at our hometown in Ulan-Ude, but some of them just moved to somewhere. I can't tell about this, but uh-huh. yeah,
sure,
it's
sure.
also related to the war and mobilization. Yeah, so it's crazy.
And how are they coping, like... are there like Mongolians who are helping them and how are they finding jobs?
So it was September. It was September 21st. And I remember there was like, we had a group chat of our like artistic community, bread artistic community. And someone just texted like, pizdets. So I was like, what is going on? I didn't read the news yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read the news. I was like, what the fuck is mobilization?
Mm-hmm.
Because like, it was like absolutely new word for us. Because mm-hmm. like in Russia, I think there was only two times when mobilization happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time it was like during the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second time. Or the third, I don't really remember. I think the second. So we were like, what is going on? And everybody like, okay. And there was a huge line on the Borden line.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day I already see all my friends and we were just like sitting somewhere in the lounge lawn or something like this. And we were like, what is going on? What are we supposed to do next? And stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a huge amount of Russians came to Mongolia at that time, during that time. And yeah, and we didn't know what to do. Like, we have no idea what is going to happen. I'm losing my language. What is going like happen next and stuff mm-hmm. like this. And actually there was like a huge support from Mongolians
mm-hmm.
and because I had no idea how like the people are going like act, react and stuff mm-hmm. like this. And mm-hmm. when people were like, oh, we can like support
mm-hmm.
and they were helping with like with a lot of things, like
mm-hmm.
how to find like a flat and someone or some people were hosting. And yeah, I don't know, I was just like literally crying because we didn't expect anything. It was mm-hmm. like so nice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of like Mongolian bread helped as well. And I remember my friend, she is Kalmyk,
mm-hmm.
and she also was like texting me that her friends who are also Kalmyks, they came, and she was like, oh, we didn't expect that huge amount of support because there was a I don't remember how many people came, like her friends and just like people she know. And they like one Mongolian, he just like, oh, you can live at my house. So like all this, like maybe 10 people, they just lived at his house. It was like so nice.
That's very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And is it like kind of getting better now than the last September or? And what are your friends are planning in the future? Is it still uncertain or are they trying to immigrate to, I don't know, other countries or try to settle here or go back?
I think actually a lot of people used Mongolia like a transit country. So a lot of them moved to somewhere like, I don't know, like Thailand or like USA or something like this. Or maybe Korea. I have no idea. Yeah, so, but some of them stayed. But it's kind of hard to stay in here because it's hard to get like a visa to permission to leave because we can live here only for 30 days without visa and we can go to the like embassy and get plus 30 days, like 60 days in total. Yeah, and after this, so yeah, guys, we're living in here and then like, what to do next? So some of them moved somewhere else and the, some of people are actually coming back now. Yeah, we are trying to, so a lot of them actually like get some like kind of study visa. So, but they are not like study. They just paid and that's it. Yeah. I hope that it's it's not like confidential information.
Yeah, please don't like feel obliged to like, tell everything.
Just so yeah, so they are living in here for one more year and then I'm asking like what are you planning to do next and they have no idea. But now no actually like a lot of people who are working freelance they stayed and some of the people who I don't know have another kind of job like maybe they were like doctors or something like this they didn't find anything so some of them had to come back and some of them I have no idea what they do so yeah mostly like people who are freelancing they stay
I just can't imagine that because I think I would never get that experience just as you're experiencing it. So I just want to say I'm sorry and I hope the situation will get better. And I think we just need to like, I or someone else, we can't offer like solution, but we just need to still talk about it and be vocal about what's happening.
Yeah, because and like everything is not finished and like there is still a mobilization actually, but they are making it more quiet. It's not like it used to be because actually like maybe in the central part of Russia it was like quiet and not that much people get mobilized. But in regions somewhere like in Buryatia, Kalmykia, there was a huge amount of people.
Yes, Tuva. They're mobilizing. They're kind of doing kind of ethnic cleanse.
Yeah, yeah.
They're mobilizing the minority.
I mean, yeah, this is true. Yeah, and actually they like made this war, they made Buryat the face of this war. Like because I don't know, it was, I think it was like a strategy because like, oh, how like Slavic or white Russians can kill someone? It's all those indigenous people who are like, I don't know, like crazy and stuff. Yeah, so they made us the face of the war for real.
And while they're doing this, they're kind of creating that narrative that these people are kind of wild and crazy.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, like, there's even, like, a term in, like, I forgot how is it called, but it's, like, related to the Buryats. And actually, this thing is coming, it's not, like, only last year, but it started in 2013 when, like, Russia decided to take the Krim. Yeah, so since that moment, actually, the Bratz became famous for Ukrainians.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing is that a lot of Ukrainians believe in this propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have like friends, she's German. Actually, she's like also like indigenous. She's from Komi, but she lives most part of her life she lives in Germany, and she also have like a lot of Ukrainian friends, and she's like helping them who like migrated to Germany and stuff like this, and they also like saying about this, so they also like being kind of racist in this kind of thing, because like mm-hmm. oh, and she's telling that she's not like Slavic Russian, she's mm-hmm. not like white Russian, and they're like, oh, you're like bread or something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but oh my god, but there is like a huge amount of indigenous people in Russia, and mm-hmm. people still don't get it, and that they also don't get that actually like on this war the percent of like indigenous people on this war is like a little amount actually,
mm-hmm.
and mostly it's like white Russians obviously, mm-hmm. yeah,
mm-hmm.
but they've made us the face okay. of this.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's move on to another
yeah.
topic.
Yeah, I mean like I can't talk about this uh-huh. for hours, I guess.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, let's move on to the subject, concept of home.
Yeah.
I like this subject because I saw your story.
Yeah, remember that
you
posted it.
Shared about like that, like having this feeling of not belonging to anywhere and not feeling home, something like that.
Yeah.
And I actually related a lot to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like two, three years ago, I came back from Hungary and I was actually living at my own home where mm-hmm. I grew up, but mm-hmm. I was not feeling home. And I was kind of wondering, like, kind of, I was thinking and reflecting about what does home mean yeah. to me. And yeah. that was very interesting period for me. So I actually realized that it doesn't matter the outer circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
The home won't be kind of described by my outer circumstance. However, I just need to feel like to be on my own space and something like that.
Yeah.
So what was your feeling on that? And how do you feel? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, actually, home it's so true. Concept? Like your words, because I also trying to come to this idea now.
Mm-hmm.
But so in March, I don't know, like in March when I was in Germany, I was like, I felt homesick, but I was here just only for like half month.
Mm-hmm.
But still I was like, oh, I want to go back to Mongolia, because I think it was still like kind of wintering here. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't any sun.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I just understood that I'm so addicted to sun.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh my God, I can't wait. Then I come back. And then I came back. I understood that I cannot feel absolutely like home in here somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I just had this feeling. And I also felt that at my home, like at Tulanude, I also can't feel like home as well, because for me, home is some space where you can feel safe,
mm-hmm.
and I absolutely cannot feel safe right mm-hmm. now. And yeah, I was also like asking my like mates, bread mates, how do they feel about this, like about home? And I think we are all homeless right now in some kind of way.
Oh yes, that's a really good way to put it, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and also I was thinking that I also have like my relatives in China, but I haven't been in here for like 10 years already, and it's crazy. Yeah, so yeah, I feel like homeless, I guess. But I started to come to the idea that I think home is supposed to be some place. It's not like some kind of place. It's like just your inner feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And home is there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and like Earth is our home in general.
Yeah, yeah, in general.
After all.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm trying to come to this feeling mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was like a huge topic for me because so I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. Also, it relates to your identity.
Yeah, yeah.
And feeling of belonging
mm-hmm.
to a bigger nationality or something like
yeah.
that. And also remember another post you shared, like, I think it was a story that, like, for Mongolians, it's just, we are lucky to have, like, this land to call our home.
Not, like, lucky. It's not, like, a privilege. It's, like, the common thing everybody should have,
yes,
right?
Yes, but, we just don't think about it enough and
yeah,
just
true.
We just take it as granted. Mm. So it's just nice to have a country to call, like, I'm from Mongolia or something like that.
Yeah.
Of course, there are things that I love about Mongolia, but also dislike about Mongolia.
Yeah.
But just to have our own independent countries
yeah.
also something to be thankful for from your point of view.
Yeah, that's true because, I don't know, I just have this huge dream. I'm not really sure if I can say that, but like I have a huge dream of Brad to become independent, like
mm-hmm.
Brad was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not too related to the anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry for letting you things that you feel uncomfortable.
No,
to say.
It's okay. I think I should speak out more about this, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not really feel safe about.
I understand you totally. Yes, yeah.
These kind of things.
Yeah.
I just hope that my like agent doesn't know English.
Your agent,
my personal.
Okay. So how would you describe, in general, Mongolia in three words?
I remember this question and I was like, okay. And I was thinking about this and yeah, okay. And I forgot.
What comes first in your mind when you think of maybe Ulaanbaatar or Mongolia?
Maybe like something comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like something like soft. I can't describe it.
Uh-huh.
Like, but
soft,
comfortable. Yeah, like comfortable or soft, something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
that is interesting for me because I would never think of like softness or.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I also. Sometimes, like, because it can be, like, so rough and
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, this is the thing that just come to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think, I just can, like, mention, like, pictures, not, like, the words.
Mm-hmm.
And the pictures come into my mind is about, like, the sun is shining and,
mm-hmm.
like, those mountains, I'm in love
mm-hmm.
with it. Like, that you can be, like, anywhere and still you can see the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, like, mountains or sun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or nature in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the third one, I think it can be, like, air pollution.
Yes.
Or, like, traffic jam.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, I think this is the questions that I always ask from the guests.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to the foreigners or travelers? What would you want them to know, like, if they're coming to Mongolia or living in Mongolia, like maybe a culture shock you experienced or something that you want them to know about Mongolia?
Cultural shock.
Or caution or something that you did that they wouldn't expect here.
Mm-hmm. Actually, our culture is really similar, so I didn't experience that like cultural shock or something.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe personal space. There
mm-hmm.
is no personal space. So yeah, in the beginning, I think I had to use, I need to get used to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially when you're like in public transport or something.
Mm-hmm.
Also what? Maybe traffic jam.
Mm-hmm.
It also can be like And that people can like disappear in this
when you trust with them with something and they just disappear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's also you need to be prepared for this.
These are great. Because I also I'm also very annoyed with having no sense of personal space. Sometimes I'm really annoyed. Yeah. Even with my mom and those were very really great points. Anything else you want to add? Just free off topics, just about anything, just not only about Mongolia. At the moment, what are you most excited for in your life?
In my life? I don't know. I mean, because everything is so unstable, management is somewhere out of this world for me, to be honest. I don't even know. I think these days I'm just living in the present. Yeah, because you never know what is going to happen the next moment. And I think this is also about Mongolia. Uh-huh. It can be explained. What I'm waiting for? I can say maybe summertime.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some of my friends, they want to come to the playtime. Yeah, and I'm excited to see them because I haven't seen them for a while already. What else? I'm excited for the weather to become warm already.
I'm also excited for the summer, but it's unfortunately it's really short and but in that short time, summer is really beautiful in Mongolia.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like a heaven. I love it here. But as so long short. As it's very short, and when it ends, the coldness and the windiness, everything starts again. We all live here for the very short period of summer. We get to enjoy every day of it in the summer.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, actually, I'm already enjoying this weather outside, even though it's kind of it can be cold or the windy, but still it's warm, kind of, in the contrast of winter, because I'm just thinking about winter, I'm just I don't want this.
It's much better these days.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we In Ulan Ude, it's almost the same weather, but because I think Ulan Bator is located, I don't know how to say it, upper,
higher,
yeah, the under the level sea, how is it called?
High level sea, I think.
Something this, yeah. It's more windy and the weather is
it's very dry and windy.
Yeah, oh, it's so dry, it's so dry. Yes.
and I also remembered one thing that we also have in common is that we like a mountain view of that we have here in Ulan Bator. That's what we appreciate. I just remembered. Most of the things sucks actually in Ulan Bator, but the mountain view is beautiful.
Yeah, and that we have almost every day is a shiny day. Sun is shiny. Okay. Bye.
Okay, actually.
No, I mean my language is already.
It's fine. We are actually wrapping up. So
yeah.
I just want to say thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
For making time for this and
Thank you for inviting.
So for this season of this podcast, I have planned only four guests, and you are the first guest of this season.
Oh.
And thank you for being the guest, and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm also happy that I changed the setting of the podcast here because I'm mostly doing it at home, and I prepare the script, and it takes I don't know, a lot of time, like I just keep procrastinating it to write okay. it. And this is so better, so much better.
Yeah, I totally understand about the procrastination. Mm-hmm. I don't know, sometimes I just can like sit and think about things. And then in another minute, like and it takes for a week and maybe I can like make it in 1 hour. So yeah. Totally get you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember that we met like in the concert and oh, you yes. were like, oh, I will text you about something. I was like, about what?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
it was about
you will see.
Thank you very much. Let's wrap up the episode
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast, and if you'd like to keep up with Mongolia, make sure you subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. Хамт песэнд маш их баярлаа. Баяртай.